this is Circulating Ideas. I'm Steve Thomas. My guest today is Timothy Carabini. He's the Executive Director of the Chief Officers of State Library Agencies and Coordinator of the Measures That Matter Initiative. Circulating Ideas is brought to you with support from listeners just like you. Find out how you can help support the show by going to circulatingideas.com/support. Tim, welcome to Circulating Ideas. Thank you for being on the show today.
And thank you for having me. I'm very glad to be here.
I want to start with a question that I often ask guests, and that is, how did you get started in librarianship in the first place, and how did you get kind of to where you are?
It's a great question, and I think many of us, it's not necessarily a straight line answer for many of us, like we were dreaming of being a librarian since we were a child. For me, I was actually in graduate school at Indiana University studying music. And I realized, you know, about halfway through my master's degree program that I probably didn't want to pursue what the logical path would have been that I was on, which was to become a faculty member at a higher education institution. And as you might know, Indiana University, in addition to having a fantastic music school, has a fantastic library school program. And at the time, I believe they still do put an emphasis on dual degree programs, where you'll get your Master of Library Science and then a subject expertise as well. They offered that for music, and I decided to take advantage of that and worked for many years as a music librarian. And still, you know, very rewarding job. I kind of have dreams of, you know, maybe when I get to retirement age, before I actually retire, try to go back and work as a music librarian for a year or two, just to kind of bring the career full circle, but really a very rewarding experience. And as I was working in that subject expertise, I eventually became involved in many other aspects of academic librarianship and moved more into the collection development realm. As I was doing that, I realized one of the things I really enjoyed the most about collection development was the opportunity to work across institutions and work in consortial settings. So I built on that by, I was serving as AUL for collections at Emory University. And at the time, Solonet, which was a regional consortia in the South, was looking for someone to help them build their electronic resource licensing program. And given my interest in working across institutions, that was something that I thought, let me explore that. And I liked it, made that jump, and have been working in settings that involve library consortia for about 10 years now. The organization I'm with now, which is the Chief Officers of State Library Agencies, is more of an association, although there are many things we do that have that are reminiscent of consortial work as well. But, you know, has that same aspect to it that I really enjoy, which is taking a look across libraries and what can we really do well together. That's in some ways, you know, one of the main definitions of state libraries. They work across the libraries within their states to support them and provide services. And that's what I really enjoy doing. So that's how I got to where I am today.
Okay, great. Thank you. So we're going to talk about one of the current things you're working on, which is the Public Library Data Alliance. But before we get into that, to get really basic with the listeners, just to make sure we're all on the same page, can you kind of define what data is for listeners?
Sure. I mean, I think we would really start with the most basic of information, which is that, you know, data is statistics and other information that's collected through some form of observation for the purpose of reference or analysis. And when we're talking about data, as we do with the Measures That Matter initiative in the Public Library Data Alliance, we often talk of, start with the focus of some of the formal data collection efforts that are out there, like the Institute of Museum and Library Services annual public library surveys. And then there are a number of other efforts that are popular in the field. We also think about periodic requests that might come from researchers for data from public libraries. And increasingly, what we're really after is data that will show not only what the outputs of public libraries are, but what impacts they have.
Right. And Before we get into Public Library Data Alliance, which is an initiative of Measures That Matter, let's talk about Measures That Matter. What is that and why was it formed?
Sure. Measures That Matter, we often refer to it as an initiative. And I'm going to take us all the way back to 2016. In late 2016, there were a number of conversations that involved library association leaders. I'm thinking of one in particular that was sponsored by the Gates Foundation Global Libraries Program, which was still operational at that time. They brought us together and we were talking broadly about things that were of interest across the public library field that the associations could potentially come together and work on. And data collection and use came up. And definitely not a new topic. There are many. If you go back in time, you can find, you know, many attempts and some successful, some maybe not so successful at looking at the public libraries and data, how they're collecting it, how it's being used, and trying to make that a bit easier. You know, maybe a bit less burdensome in some people's minds. Useful. We wanted to, at the time back in 2016, where we were really talking about this from the fact that libraries were changing their services as technology impacted what we do. And we really, many librarians were not certain that the data that we are collecting was really the best data to be collecting to really help describe that stronger role and the value and the impact of public libraries in the 21st century. So, there were a number that really resonated with a number of us, and the Institute of Museum and Services actually made an approach to a number of associations and said, you know, we would be willing to dive in and explore this a little bit now. You know, how can we do this? And at the time, COSLA was in a position to offer some infrastructure support to that, and we entered into a cooperative agreement with the Institute of Museum and Library Services. We weren't quite sure where we were going to go with this, but we all knew that we wanted to take a look at what was happening with data. And this, we chose the name Measures That Matter because really we can boil it down to we were hearing a lot from public librarians that, hey, we are doing a lot of data collection, but we're not sure in all cases that it's the right data to be collecting, and we're not sure, you know, how it's used and what else we could be doing. So that name, Measures That Matter, was fairly intentional. We entered into this cooperative agreement with really generous funding from the Institute of Museum and Library Services at the end of 2016. And I kind of break down how Measures That Matter has transpired into kind of the years. There are three really distinct phases. The first, which was essentially 2017, was a lot of foundational work. We did some things like, you know, developed a logic model, came up with some values and guiding principles. We took a look around it as a good first step at trying to understand better what was happening in the public library world now. What were the major ways that data was being collected and how did they complement each other? Were there any redundancies among them? We also engaged in some educational webinars. There was widespread belief, and I think this is still true today, that librarians often will begin their careers without necessarily having a lot of training in data. So we did some kind of baseline training and educational effort to, if nothing else, get folks kind of on a level ground from which we could build. So there was some research going on. There was this logical model development. We were doing these educational webinars. And the culmination of that first phase of Measures That Matter was a data summit that was held in September of 2017. And we brought to the data summit, we invited to the data summit about 75 individuals who came from a variety of backgrounds. We had folks from associations. We had practicing librarians. These were often library directors, but also often people who work in libraries that were data analysts. We brought state data coordinators, a very important role within state library agencies for this. Also researchers, and we brought folks who were not necessarily from the library field. We brought folks from some other fields that are data heavy. We had a great number of presentations from folks in the education field. We had some folks from arts organizations that do a lot of data collection. We also brought in folks to the data summit who represented city and county governments, because we realized that public librarians use this data ourselves, but it's even more interesting when it's of interest to others, when we can present it to others, when we understand how their data could be combined with our data. So the Data Summit brought folks together for 2 days to really explore public library data in a variety of ways. The result from all of that work in 2017, and especially the Data Summit, was an action plan. And this is something that's available on the Measures That Matter website that outlined 4 major areas with 14 different action steps that came out of the Data Summit discussion, especially where we said that these are things that the public library field could really work on to help get us closer to knowing that we are collecting the measures that matter.
And then how did the Public Library Data Alliance come out as its own separate, more specific initiative?
Yeah. So if you look at the action plan, the suggestion of forming a Public Library Data Alliance is one of the action steps. In the action plan itself, the phrase that I think it's referred to as the Public Library Data Council, we changed that to Public Library Data Alliance. So that is one of the steps that came out of the action plan. And, you know, the second phase of Measures That Matter really was about taking the action plan and digging a little deeper on it. We often describe it as kicking the tires. There were a number of action steps that we knew we could move on right away and some others that needed some additional work. So in 2018 and early 2019, we had an implementation group that was looking at that action plan. And not unexpectedly, they focused in on the action step that suggested creating the Public Library Data Alliance as one of the steps that the field really should, it's foundational in itself, and the field should really move on that. So we are where we are today because the action plan included that suggestion, and the implementation group that we brought together agreed that and prioritized that step as one of the first ones that once the Public Library Data Alliance is in place, many of the other action steps would be much easier to achieve.
And you talked a little bit before, you mentioned kind of offhand that librarians in the past have not been happy necessarily with the way the data has been collected. Can you talk a little bit about how data about public libraries has been collected up until this point?
Yeah, sure. I think that we really focused early on some comments that we were hearing around the perceived burden. I think, you know, I was in a room once with some public librarians, and a public library director said, if I get one more request to complete a survey that is asking for data that I've already completed on this other survey, I'm going to scream. So, you know, there was a high frustration level with, I think, what was being asked of practitioners in terms of providing data. There's actually very little that's 100% required of a public library to present data-wise. I think that the Institute of Museum and Library Services Public Libraries Data Survey, you know, is actually it's something that the IMLS asks state libraries to administer on their behalf. In some states, there are some incentives tied to completing the public library survey. But most public librarians, I think, see the value in, especially the longitudinal value in continuing to participate in that. But there are many other opportunities to collect data. And there was this perception that everyone's being dinged many times, and sometimes for the same data that is available in other ways. When we started that initial year of Measures That Matter, we actually took some time to define what we thought was happening within the library field around data collection at the time. And there was a piece of research that was produced that we refer to as the data landscape document. And it also is posted on the Measures That Matter website. I think that the formal name is something like Landscape of U.S. Public Library Data Collection in the U.S., mm-hmm. And that piece of research really took a look at the 5 or 6 or 7 different surveys that were out there for public librarians to participate in and started to look across them and say, okay, what is the purpose behind each of these? It asked the question, are there overlaps between these purposes? Is there redundancy in the data that's being asked for? And it was a very early piece of work on this front, but very interesting. And, you know, one of the things that came out of that study, that data landscape study, is that there wasn't as much redundancy as people thought there was. Now, that doesn't necessarily negate any of the concerns that were being expressed in terms of, a frustration level with being asked for the same information over and over. But there were a number of findings for that suggested, well, you know, it's not as simple as saying I'm being tapped too much for this information. There were valid reasons why in some cases, and certainly the various efforts that public librarians could participate in all had fairly well-defined purposes behind them.
Well, you talked about this a little bit earlier, but can you talk about, elaborate, I guess, on how library data is used, especially obviously in the public library field for this initiative?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are many different ways that librarians will use the data that they have for themselves. You know, it could be to, first of all, understand the work that they're doing and how they might need to alter that work, or perhaps new services that they might offer. I think a common use of data that's commonly brought up is to show funders, you know, whether it be the municipal government or some other entity, what value they are bringing to the table as a result of receiving the funding, or, you know, even being there in the first place. So I think a lot around understanding work, a lot around demonstrating the impact of the work, ultimately all to show the value of the work.
Why is it important that things be done differently than it was done in the past?
I think because libraries have changed, and many of the things that traditionally, many of the data points that have traditionally been collected may not have the same value that they once had. And conversely, libraries are doing different things now. And if we don't take a look at this on some type of regular basis, we may not be able to accurately collect data and measure and demonstrate impact on the newer things that libraries are doing as well. I also think that the field itself overall was at a point in 2016 and probably long before that where, you know, there's a real desire to increase the capacity to track and measure impact. There was this other feeling that I've mentioned too, that there's a desire also to reduce data collection burden and duplication. But beyond that, some of the other things that came up is we really want to be able to improve the dissemination of data around public libraries and what they do. Oftentimes, you know, connecting that perhaps with other data sources to really enhance not just the public library data, but other sources of data as well. And I think because of this, all of these things kind of came together. You know, you could look at a particular survey and say, oh, you know, that's not, that measure is not as important to me as it once was. I'm not going to participate in that anymore. There were concerns increasingly over the, I would say last decade in particular, that participation in data collection was at risk and that the quality of data was at risk because of definitions that were around terms that might be new, or data points that might be new and not as well defined, or because this is a data point that just was not valued as much as it was, and people might be choosing not to participate in it any longer.
So how does the PDLA want to change the way that data is collected?
So I think, you know, one answer to that is we're not sure. It has to, you know, I think that's a key question. You know, how should things change? When you think of the PLDA, I tend to talk about it more in terms of, you know, not that it has this specific agenda that it is pursuing of, you know, step one, step two, step three. But really, the PLDA formation and having this is really to create a more structured way for public librarians and the associations that support them to interact on the topic of data. I keep mentioning the associations, and I should dig down on that a little bit, but we tend to look at the American Library Association, the Association for Rural and Small Libraries, COSLA, the Chief Officers of State Library Agencies, the Urban Libraries Council, and the Public Library Association as really key to measures that matter. If you look across all of those five associations, what you really have is reach into every public library in the United States. Some of the associations are individual membership based. Some are, like COSLA, is actually more of an institutional membership. But together, we really blanket public libraries in this country. And many of our associations are actually heavily involved in data collection. You might be familiar with the Public Library Association's initiative Project Outcome as an example of one of the associations taking the lead on a data collection effort. The Urban Libraries Council has a benchmarking effort called EDGE that's been around probably, 5 or 6 years now. That's also very interesting. So the associations, we were doing our best to stay in touch about the different initiatives and what each was trying to accomplish and how they might complement each other. But there was really no formal mechanism to do that. The other piece about the Public Library Data Alliance is that, it can't be just the association personnel talking about this. We're not on the front lines. I'm not in a library any longer. So we don't want to be working in a vacuum. There are a lot of stakeholders when it comes to public library data, but there really wasn't an entity that brought together the stakeholders with the associations. The idea behind the Public Library Data Alliance does just that. It brings a variety of stakeholders together. So in conceiving of the PLDA through the Measures That Matter initiative, we tend to talk about it more as being a participatory and not a mandating or governing body, but a way to bring stakeholders together, an entity that we see as allowing us to focus more on thought leadership as a field. It's an entity that we hope will be, through its interactions, able to propose strategic actions. And we also see it as an entity that will allow for a communications infrastructure, an easier way for all of us, all of the stakeholders, to be talking about public library data.
And this will go through the end of the month, but you're currently accepting applications for founding members. What kind of people can get involved with this? What are you looking for in applicants?
Yeah, sure. So the Public Library Data Alliance composition, as it's right now, is we're thinking no more than 15 people. The five associations that I've mentioned all will have one representative on it. We'll also have at least one state data coordinator. So we're looking for someone from that population. We have a couple of folks, a couple of slots that are on the Data Alliance that we would like to see filled by folks who have been involved in the implementation group in some of the prior work. That's to allow for continuity. And we want to fill out the remaining, 6 or 7 seats on the Public Library Data Alliance, primarily with practitioners. And by that, I mean public library directors or data specialists who are currently working in public libraries, so some frontline folks. It would be wonderful to have a researcher or two on the initial formation of the Public Library Data Alliance. And even we would consider in past work groups and groups that have supported Measures That Matter, we've had folks from outside the library field participate as well. So, to some extent, I would say that we really want to see in folks who are thinking about raising their hand, to participate in Public Library Data Alliance, we really want to see some folks who are in public libraries as directors or as people working closely with data. We're looking for a number of those types of people to be on this initial formation of the PLDA.
So once those people are chosen and the Public Library Data Alliance is kind of fully formed, fully baked, what are the kinds of things that they're going to be tackling first?
Yeah. So the initial work of the PLDA is there was a lot of discussion about this on the implementation group. On the one hand, you need to have some definition around, the very question that you're asking, what would the PLDA be doing? On the other hand, this is new. It's a new approach to this topic. So the implementation group did not want to be too didn't want to prescribe too heavily what this initial group might do. But it has done, there are a few suggestions that they're putting out. The PLDA initial work, first of all, we really would like to see it focus on this idea of the PLDA as a communications infrastructure. In other words, this is the first place on this scale that we would have, the five leading public library associations and a group of practitioners heavily involved in, engaged with, and interested in data, and others, this, state data coordinator, perhaps a researcher or two, coming together. And we really would like to see the PLDA develop as a place where inquiries could come and ideas could be brought and also disseminated through that. So this idea of really focusing on this notion of creating a communications infrastructure on data is something that the implementation group has recommended that the PLDA take up. The other aspect of the PLDA's work, also coming from the implementation group, I mentioned that the action plan itself contained four broad areas and 14 action steps. The implementation group has prioritized those action steps and has produce some documentation that will be handed to the Public Library Data Alliance once it is formed as suggested places to start. And I can tell you that if you look at the action plan, there are several places in it where there are references to developing use cases. And the implementation group feels that that actually is a very good place for the Public Library Data Alliance to start, because we do not have a tremendous number of use cases, current use cases, that are out there. And it seems like an area that is, again, foundational for future work for the PLDA. I should also mention, and this is important perhaps for people who are thinking about raising their hand for the PLDA, Measures That Matter has throughout its entire existence always had a kind of a centralized group. For the initial phase, we called it a steering committee, kind of directing the work of, and an advisory group that directed the, the work of the Data Summit, for example. We had the implementation group that really was charged with taking a look at that action plan and digging down deeper into it. These groups have tended to be about the same size as we're envisioning for the initial Public Library Data Alliance, which is 12 to 17 people. All of these groups have also, because you can't put the burden, all of that burden, on 12 to 17 people necessarily, who all have other jobs, we've employed this model in all stages of, there's the central group that is, directing the work, determining what the work is. And then working groups are spun off of that, that are usually hosted by a member of the main group, but populated by others who bring different skill sets. And we see this as a way of broadening the participation in Measures That Matter. And it's worked quite successfully. And it's helped bring more people to the table. It's helped bring more skill sets to the table that are appropriate for the specific work that's being pursued.
We talked a lot about Public Library Data Alliance, but to go back broader to the Measures That Matter that you were talking about, have there been any other initiatives launched by Measures That Matter yet?
The work of Measures That Matter really has focused on, I mentioned that year of foundational work and then the action plan development and then starting to work with the action plan itself. There is some other work. You will see reference in the action plan to a number of other things that we've started to work on under the Measures That Matter umbrella. Some of this work that started but not completed will be handed over to the PLDA for consideration. There's one interesting report. I mentioned the data landscape document, so that's one piece. Another interesting report that came out of the action plan was a look across what the states are asking in their annual surveys, exclusive of the questions that the Institute of Museum and Library Services Public Library Surveys ask. In other words, each state, when they ask their public library directors to complete an annual survey, they'll have these questions that come from IMLS. And then some of them have other questions. So we wanted to take a look across, well, what are those other questions? Are there commonalities? Maybe there are things in those other questions that are so predominant, we might ask that they become a question on the national survey, the IMLS survey. So there's a report out there that was produced last June that is pretty interesting reading. It's on the Measures That Matter website. There's a report and the data set itself. And that is completed in its initial phase. And we think that others can pick that up and probably build on it.
And what can we expect from the Public Library Data Alliance and measures that matter in the future?
We really see the Public Library Data Alliance as moving the ideas presented in the action plan forward over time. So I think one answer to your question is take a look at the action plan, because that's the document from which the PLDA will work initially. We also recognize that, you know, when the PLDA forms, and all of the major library associations, you know, have committed to this, we have IMLS will maintain a liaison relationship to the PLDA. I haven't mentioned yet the National Information Standards Organization, NISO. They will be serving as the administrative home for the PLDA in its first year, at least to help get it started. We think, and the implementation group was really clear on this, that this is a new approach. We don't know exactly how this is going to look. They have a great roadmap with the action plan, but as the PLDA forms and it starts its process of, and if we're successful at, you know, creating this communications infrastructure and thought leadership, it may go in directions that we haven't envisioned yet. So quick answer to your question is the roadmap is the action plan. What we can expect, we should have this conversation in another 8 or 9 months and see, because by that time the PLDA will be formed. It will have met several times and will start to be developing its personality, and we'll be able to know more about it then.
Yeah, that's great. We can do a follow-up at a certain point in time when we've got a good idea of what's going on. So that's sounds fantastic. So, Tim, thank you so much for coming on the show today and letting listeners know all about the Public Library Data Alliance. I know I'm looking forward to the follow-up conversation, and I hope listeners are as well. If people still have questions that they didn't feel like were answered on this episode, where can they go to get answers?
First of all, the Measures That Matter does have a website. It's measuresthatmatter.net. You can, we have a Twitter feed that you'll get news from there. We also maintain a Google group. I think if you go to the website, you'll see links to all of that stuff. Or if just a quick way, if as you're listening to this, you can shoot a message off to info@COSLA.org, info@COSLA.org. That will come to COSLA, and we will just say in the message, hey, I have a question about the PLDA, or I have a question about Measures That Matter. We'll get back in touch with you and help you out.
Great. Well, thanks again for talking to us. And I think it's a really important initiative, so I'm glad we were able to get the word out about it.
Thank you so much for your time, Steve.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
Circulating Ideas is produced by Steve Thomas in the suburbs of Atlanta, with support from listeners like you. Find out how you can help by going to circulatingideas.com and clicking on support. You can also subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Overcast, or your podcast app of choice, and help others find the show by leaving a rating or review. You can follow the show on Twitter @CircIdeas or like the show's Facebook page. Music is by Pamela Klicka. Thanks for listening, and keep circulating your ideas.